This is the Photography Podcast on photography.ca, episode number 97, Using Hard Light. Hey there, photo lovers. How's it going? And welcome to the 97th Photography Podcast on photography.ca. My name is Marco, and as always, we're coming to you from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. For today's show, we're going to talk about hard light and how to use hard light. And I'm coming to you from Laurier Park in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. I hope the ambient noises aren't too annoying. If they are, you can please let me know in the comments. My apologies for it taking this long to get another podcast out. I'm actually at another park, not La Fontaine Park, because I have moved recently, and it's just kept me incredibly busy, and sorry about that. But anyway, we have a new podcast today, and we are into it. Before we do get into it, I'd like to thank people for their last comments on number 96, where we talked about tripods for photography, the good stuff, and we got quite a few comments from Northstone, Wicked Dark, Howard J, Kawartha Bob, and Keith, and they appreciated the podcast and had comments on it. Thanks so much. As always, we love to get comments any way we can, but directly in the blog, photography.ca/blog is our preferred way. Okay, so let's just get right into hard light. So what is hard light? Hard light is a direct light, and it comes from a small source in relation to your subject. Hard light creates deep shadows, and hard light also often creates specular highlights, so it's also known as specular light. Specular highlights are those highlights that are devoid of detail, and those are going to be like reflections off a skin or reflections off water. They're going to have no detail in it whatsoever, and that's not a bad thing. But hard light is likely to produce that much more easily than soft light. Two quick and easy examples of hard light are going to be direct flash on or off camera and unshaded direct sunlight. When it comes to direct sunlight, a lot of people get confused because, you know, they think, you know, the sun is so big, and we're saying small sources create a light that is hard. And the key here is the relative distance from the subject. And although the sun is large to us, it's really far, far away, and it creates like a point of light from that distance. So it is indeed a small light source. When clouds are present and the sun's rays are diffused by those clouds become the main light source, and it's a huge softbox, again, relative to the subject. So just to make it clear, the sun, as we may remember from our school days, is actually 93 million miles away. That's a lot of miles away. Even though the sun looks big, it's 93 million miles away. Clouds, on the other hand, especially the lower clouds, they're less than 10,000 feet from us. So 93 million miles versus 10,000 feet, humongous difference. If you're ever confused, and sometimes newbies are, they can't tell, is the light hard, is it soft? A really old trick is just to open your palm and let the light hit your palm, and then take your finger and put it over your palm. If it casts a shadow with edges that you can see easily, you're looking at hard light. Now, due to the fact that harsher shadows and specular highlights are harder to deal with, hard light in general is harder to work with. But this is not to say that hard light is bad light. There is no such thing as bad light per se, far from it. You just need to learn how to tame it and practice with it. Portraits, nature shots, product photography all benefit from hard light when used correctly. That light can be a main light or an accent light, but there's no reason to avoid using hard light just because it's hard. There's really no reason to restrict your shooting to only sunset and sunrise hours or a few hours before or after. You can shoot at really any time if you know what to look for and know how to tame the light. Even at 2 p.m. in direct sun, the sun is harsh for a photo shoot, and it will create those shadows on the face and possibly even reveal skin blemishes. That is if the light is more frontal or to the side or from above. But if it's not high noon, meaning the sun is directly above, if it's not high noon, let's say it's 2 p.m. as mentioned, well, in that case, the sun isn't right on top of your head. If you place that light behind your subject, then you have solved that shadowy problem in that particular case. So the harsh light will light the hair of the person and give the hair a very crisp appearance, and then light reflecting from everywhere else will light up the rest of the body if it's a portrait, and that can make for a really cool picture. You can also add flash to balance it out, but even without the flash, just, you know, straight, harsh light, backlighting someone, that can be super cool, and you can have a really dramatic and cool portrait that way. And in terms of backlighting, one of our forum members, BZ Dega Photography, allowed me to use one of her shots. And basically, it's just a lovely shot of leaves, and it's obviously lit by very harsh light, backlit. and it's shining through the leaves and it has those specular highlights, but the composition is good, the shot is very dramatic, and it works. So again, there's no reason not to be practicing or trying or experimenting with trying to capture hard light. You'll win some, you'll lose some, but by trying, at least you'll learn, so try. One of the advantages of using harsh light is that when you use harsh light, shapes and forms are often better revealed because it's not just light that reveals form, it's the interplay between light and shadow that reveals form. And just as an exercise, I went out looking for hard light last week, and I was actually very fortuitous. I went out in hard light, but as I was shooting something, I took a frame and then some clouds came in just a little bit, and that diffused the light quite a bit. And I'm gonna put a before and after shot in the show notes just so you could see the difference between the level of blacks in the shadows and the level of crispness in the main objects overall. It's quite noticeable, the difference, and check out the show notes for that, of course. The harsh light just, it looked grittier, and it worked better for the type of street scene that I was shooting. We also have an assignment on the forum that I'm going to talk about later. It's a creative self-portrait assignment, and lo and behold, I'm out in hard light again, and all of a sudden I see this, I see the light hitting my head, and it's creating a harsh shadow on the ground, and there happen to be, I don't know the scientific name for them, but there are these things that look like little helicopter propellers that fall from trees, and they kind of fell in a way that formed eyes and a nose on the concrete, and with my shadow, it kind of looked like a face. So anyway, I could have never have gotten that effect with soft light because the sun wouldn't have caused the shadow. The light would have been too diffuse to have caused a distinct shadow. So sometimes you can only get your shot using hard light. So again, please, please, please experiment. Before, during, and after your experimentation, it should be noted that, of course, hard light is much contrastier than soft light. And depending on the contrast level of the scene, the differences between the brightest elements and the darkest elements, you may not be able to reproduce all those tones effectively. You may not get detail in the blacks and details in the white if the contrast range is too large. Your camera can only handle a certain contrast range, and you need to know that going in, and you need to know that for sometimes it's okay. Sometimes when the light is really moody and really contrasty and you're creating a very dramatic shot, it's okay not to hold both details at both ends of the spectrum. You can let the shadows fall into pure black. You can let some highlights fall into pure light. You just have to make sure it works for you, and there's no magic recipe for what works. I guess because the shadows are created are very harsh and prominent, you want to place those shadows effectively so that they don't wreck your scene. When you're using hard light, you have to be aware of where the shadows will fall. If you're shooting a portrait, you have to be aware of where the shadows will fall. The shadows are going to be there, but where they fall is going to be part of the skill. It's going to be part of the level two thinking. You want the shadows that fall not to be obtrusive in your shot, and that's going to have a lot to do with light placement. So again, if you're shooting a portrait and your model is facing the camera and the light is at top right to the camera and it's harsh, well, that's going to create some raking shadows across the model's face. Now, if you move that light up, back, left, right, you will see that the placement of those shadows is going to change. And depending on where those shadows fall, the photo will be more or less pleasing. This is where the play comes in. I can't tell you where to put the light. It depends on the model, it depends on the light, it depends on the distance of the light to the model. But I can tell you that you can have the shadows fall in different places just by playing with the light. And again, that's where some of the learning and skill and experience is going to take place, by playing with the light in different positions and noting its effect. You will note how the shadows are likely to fall on similar subjects in the future. Some quick and easy examples of when hard light might be really good is when you have, this muscular athlete or something like that, and you want to show off this person's body, then hard light is excellent because it's really going to define the contours of their body better than soft light, depending on the position. In a similar way, if you have a model whose skin can hold up to the hard light, you have to be sure that the makeup is good and it can hold up to the hard light, because sometimes, depending on the position, the hard light can reveal skin blemishes, etc. But if the model's skin can handle it, then holy moly, hard light can be really, really, really striking on people, and you feel free to use it. So many of the portraits, George Harrell portraits from, the 40s, all these old black and white portraits, they were often done with hard light, often. And it was really skillful, meticulously placed light that made some of those photos look just so, so, so beautiful. And if I can recall, I'm going to try and throw a link into the show notes as well. for this particular podcast, I also did a portrait of my wife, Carmi, using one light, hard light, again, just to show the shadows and the intensity of the shadows and the fact that there is a level of crispness there that you often cannot get with soft light. I should say for this shot, it may have been ultimately more pleasing to combine some fill flash, maybe some softer fill flash, but I didn't want to here because I really wanted just to show the effect of one harsh light. And you should know, depending on the light source that you use to create the harsh shadows, that sometimes the light may spray too much. It may spill into areas that you don't necessarily want it to spill. And for these cases, snoots or grids are very, very, very useful for directing either harsh or soft light, actually, in a more concentrated zone such that the spill doesn't go everywhere. And this is just part of using hard light. Now, if you want to mix the lighting, like harsh and soft lighting, so now again, you're at level two lighting. And when you mix two light sources, let's say like window light and direct flash, now you can really get creative. And let's just talk about lighting ratios for a moment. So all a lighting ratio is the brightness difference between two light sources, the key light and the fill light. The key light is usually stronger than the fill light. Now, the higher the lighting ratio, the more the subject contrast. So let's just say you have the main light, and let's just say you have a fill light, and let's say they're both of equal brightness. This is a 1-to-1 ratio, and it's typically very flat lighting because both sources of light are the same. They're not creating major contrast differences. If you have a one-stop difference between the main light and the fill light, well, this is a 2-to-1 ratio. A 1.5 stop difference is a 3-to-1 ratio. 2 stop difference is a 4-to-1 ratio. And a 4 stop difference is an 8-to-1 ratio. Now, when you have an 8-to-1 ratio, this is very, very, very dramatic. And there is a vast difference between the brightness in the main light versus the fill light. And this is going to be a very contrasty shot, very cool shot. It's likely to be a striking shot if it's done properly. And you just need to know that as the difference between those two lights increases, so does the contrast. And, you know, you could really mix it up. Again, maybe the main light is soft and the fill light is hard, or vice versa. You know, the main light is hard and the fill light is soft. Or you have multiple lights. You have a hair light that's hard, but the other lighting is soft. Really, it's only up to you to play. And these days, you don't need much more than a couple of cheap flashes. Two or three cheap flashes, $100 to $150 a piece if you're on a budget and you have a studio. And you can do incredible things with three cheap flashes, even two cheap flashes. But again, the key is going to be playing with making it hard or soft, closer, farther, the direction of the light, etc. But don't be afraid to use that hard light because it adds crispness, it adds beautiful shadows, and it'll take your photography up a level if you're only used to shooting soft light. And I think that's all I got to say about harsh light for now. Lighting is such a complex topic, and photographers go their whole lives trying to master light in different combinations and permutations of where the light's coming from, how bright it is. It's just, there's so much room for play, you just have to actually do the play. So part of the learning comes in the play. Listening to this podcast is one thing and it'll give you theory, but holy moly, your effects will be much better if you also practice this close to when you're listening to it, maybe. So I do encourage you to maybe, you know, take a few shots, and if you're not a member of the forum, join our friendly forum, and we'll help you out if you ask for critiques, and it'll be our pleasure to meet you. In terms of the forum, the assignments this month, I mentioned one already. It's going to be assignment one is actually breaking the rules. So rules of thirds, rules of brightness, rules of composition. Sometimes when you break the rules, you can get really, really, really cool shots. So I encourage you to break the rules and maybe post. And then the level two assignment is a creative self-portrait assignment. There's only a few of those posted so far, but they are creative. So I do encourage people that are members to just post as many as they can. And if you're lurking, just join our friendly forum. It's our pleasure. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. I'm going to try and put out more so we can get to this magic 100th episode pretty soon. But until then, just get out there, play, practice, but always keep on shooting. Bye for now, everyone. Thanks so much for listening.